Hello, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, and welcome to the Design and Marketing Podcast with your host, Rob Coven. I hope you're very well. Thank you very much for joining me today. We've got a great guest on the show today, but before I talk to you about her, I've got to say thank you very much again for all the feedback. It really seems to help some of you. The interviews that we're doing at the moment with graphic designers who are independent and working from home really seems to help you. A lot of people are emailing me saying thank you for these interviews. Another thing I want to say during this week is that I sent out a mail out asking you whether you see yourself as a freelancer or a business owner and whether this distinction is important to you or not. And we got lots of interesting replies. If you want to go onto my website at robcoven.com, you can easily see them by clicking on the freelance designer or design business link in under the recent articles on the sidebar. And we got some great replies from people. It was really interesting to hear what you were saying and how you saw yourselves and what you wanted to do in the future and all sorts of stuff like that. However, I must get on and introduce my next guest to you. And my next guest is Karen Marish, who has formerly been known as Karen McDade. Sure, a lot of you know her. Sure, a lot of you follow her on Twitter. She has been married, of course. That's why her surname's changed. Her blog is at karenmcdade.com, and she's South African. We talk a lot about traveling around the world and working and getting clients and working for clients and the work she does, the graphic design, web design and Photoshop work, etc. We had a great chat and she came up with some great bit of advice right at the end. I'm going to do this question at the end of every interview and ask people one piece of advice you'd give an independent graphic designer, because everyone gives such a great answer to this question. So I'm going to have to try it every time. And Karen is no exception. She gave a fantastic answer right at the end of the interview. So you've got to wait for that. But also after the interview, I stopped recording and we chatted for a couple of minutes after the interview. And she said, "Oh, thanks for interviewing me, Rob." And I said, "Karen, don't thank me. I have to thank you. I get a good podcast out of it. It's going to be a good blog post showing your work, etc. And talking about your career." And Karen said, "No, thank you. It's great that we have such a supportive graphic design community online." And that really sort of took me aback a bit, because I hadn't thought about that for a while, you know. I did think about it after she said that, and I thought, my God, yes, you're right, Karen. And the design community is fantastic. It is very supportive. I think I've forgotten that over the years. I've kind of taken it for granted. I just thought I'd make that point before we go into the interview. We are all benefiting from the design community online. I'm sure you are. I'm sure you participate in forums and read blogs and follow people on Twitter and what have you. And we forget that a lot of information, inspiration and promotion is shared amongst graphic designers online, and it's a fantastic thing. So, having made that point, I'm going to hand over to Karen Marish, nay Karen McDade, and listen to this interview with an independent graphic designer who's travelled all over the world in the last 7 years working for clients. It's fantastic. Shall we start at the very beginning and tell us how you got into graphic design? I assume that was when you were in South Africa, because you're from South Africa. So yeah. Where did it all start?
I literally, when I finished school, I wasn't sure what I wanted to do. And I had a friend who was studying graphic design, and he showed me a copy of Photoshop. He was like, you know, this is what I'm doing. And I was like enamored. It was amazing. And so he gave me like a copy of Photoshop. I was like one of the old ones, like 4 or 5.
Yeah.
And so I played with that for a bit, and I really just taught myself everything I knew about Photoshop after that point. And I remember the first thing I did, like the first proper design I did, was a really bad Kirk Hammett tribute website where the buttons were pictures of this guy, and they would like glow like green if they were active and pink if they weren't active. Like, it was really, really bad. And that's where it started. Like, I just fell in love with it, and I just sort of took it from there.
Okay. So I was interviewing Wes McDowell a couple of podcasts back, and he said Photoshop was his entry drug of choice, which is kind of
nicely put.
yeah, and it was exactly the same with me because it was, and I think it was Photoshop 2.5 that I was on. I remember somebody saying, "This is 2.5" at some stage, so it may well have been 2.
That's really old.
Yeah, I am really old. We'll just skirt over that point. And sorry, I didn't catch the name of the tribute site you were talking about. The guy.
Oh, it's just Kirk Hammett. He's the guitarist for Metallica. It was just some dumb like thing that I did. I was like, it's just like a play thing that I did. I just trying to like create a little website, and I started off with Photoshop and like, creating the site in Photoshop, and then I pulled it apart and put it together in Dreamweaver, and that was like my first like Photoshop / web project. So. Yeah, and it was really bad. It was horrible. But I was really proud of it at the time, like immensely self-satisfied with the results. So, but anyway.
Yeah, but you are a Photoshop genius, though. You've developed quite a unique talent in Photoshop, but we'll come to that later. Because it's interesting that you started off with the web as well, because in your sort of doing your part-time hobby site, but it's interesting that it was the web, because you also do a lot of print design, don't you?
Yeah, well, I did start out with learning sort of like Photoshop and the website like in conjunction. Mm-hmm. And then so initially when I started out with design, it was sort of very web-based, and I sort of moved into print like later on.
Right. Okay. Yeah. That's interesting. So, so you're tapping away, or should I say, sort of experimenting with Photoshop in your spare time. And how did you get onto it more professionally?
Well, I had worked at a company just sort of doing marketing, and they didn't have anyone to do their design for their brochures and. Just silly little things like the web banners or posters and stuff like that. And then I need Photoshop. So like, well, can you do it? So I was like, yeah, I'll do it. I'll try. You know? So I started off with that. And then my boyfriend and I at the time moved from Johannesburg in South Africa to Durban on the East Coast. And for the first time since I was in school, I didn't have a job. So I was like, I don't know what to do. And then out of the blue, my old company called me and they said, well, we don't have anyone to do this design work. You know, we haven't filled your position. Can you do it for us remotely? So I was like, yeah, okay, I can do it. And so that's really how it started, just working from home, doing small things like brochures and posters and stuff like that. And then, people from that company would move to different companies. I'd take my details with them. Yeah. And before I knew it, I was doing a whole bunch of work for all these different companies. I didn't advertise at all. They just like took my name with them, and then that's how I got more clients. And that's really how it started.
Okay. Well, then were you working remotely for all these clients then?
Yeah. From the start, I was working remotely.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And you had an internet connection at least for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's really all I needed was my laptop and internet connection. So. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But it's very. I mean, you know, I was working. I was working for years and years in offices before I managed to get to that stage. But it's obviously the quality of the work. Because this is all word of mouth.
It took a couple of months for me to actually build up enough work where I was working a full day, so it did take a while.
Yeah.
But it was all word of mouth, like advertising. So.
But that was how long ago was that when it started? And you had
I'm trying to think, that's 7 years.
7 years ago.
Yeah.
Okay, so right, maybe not as long ago as I was thinking it was, but still. That means you're very used to this lifestyle of staying at home and earning money as a graphic designer.
That was actually a little difficult, though, just being at home and working alone for the first time. That took some getting used to, because I was used to an office environment. but it actually suits me right down to the ground, to be honest. Like, I couldn't imagine going back to an office environment now.
No, I shouldn't imagine. I'm sure it is testing at first, but you do get used to it, and you do develop ways of working. I don't know if you do know if you go out during the day and make sure you meet people and things like that.
Yeah, well, I'm pretty social after hours, on the weekends, but usually during the day, I work through the day. I find it almost like disruptive if I have to go out during the day, so I try not to. I just like stay at home and I just work all the way through. And then, I mean, I live in a very small town at present. I'm in Gibraltar at the moment, and it's just tiny here, and everyone knows each other. So it's like, if you don't show your face on Friday night, everyone asks where you are.
Well, that's interesting. I'd like to come. You've moved several times since you started your freelance designing in Durban. How has all that happened? You know, how have you found traveling around with your laptop and working?
I feel very lucky because the only reason I move around a lot is because my now husband, he gets headhunted a lot. He's really good at what he does. So we end up moving from Johannesburg to Durban, and then we moved from Durban to Dublin in Ireland for 3 years. And then now we're in Gibraltar. And I feel lucky that I haven't had to look for a new job every time we've moved. I can just take my laptop and all my clients with me, because I work remotely anyway. When I was in Durban, all my clients were in Joburg. When I went to Dublin, all my clients were in South Africa. I'm in Gibraltar now, and I have clients in the UK, Dublin, South Africa, the US. You know, it doesn't matter where I am. So I feel very lucky that I have that stability of like constant income no matter where I am in the world. And it's not as easy as people think, working off a laptop or traveling and working at the same time. I prefer to have my office set up with my computers and my Cintiq, and you know, I prefer to have a stable environment. But if I do need to just pick up and go, I can.
So, yeah. Well, that's really interesting, actually. Do you like a big iMac screen then?
I got a 27-inch iMac. And I have a 21-inch Wacom Cintiq,
which
is like my baby. I love this thing. I want to get the new one, but they're so expensive. Oh, my gosh.
I never got into them.
You don't like them?
No, I know. I'm not an artist. I'm not an artist like you.
You're missing out.
Yeah, that's what everyone says. I saw people using them, and I just tried. But, I didn't try for too long, but I sort of got back into it. But I appreciate that you need that for the sort of work you do.
Yeah, well, it's very convenient. It's such a natural way to work, especially when doing digital art. But when I travel, I just have like a little Wacom, like the old bamboo, actually. Yeah. It's just a little thing I keep with me, but I need a tablet. Like, I have to have one. It's a non-negotiable.
If you look at karenmcdade.com.
Yeah, that's my blog.
Which is your blog, which you still update now, even though your surname has changed.
Well, I know. This is the year, think of this stuff. Like, we get married, and I really, had registered my domain under my maiden name years ago. Now, I think someone already has karenmaresh.com, so there's no changing it.
No.
Damn it. I didn't think of that. It's a pain, though, changing your name, I've got to tell you.
Yeah, well, I can imagine it. I can imagine it is. I'm thankful I don't have to do it. But on karenmcdade.com, you do seem to have a huge talent for developing Photoshop imagery. I don't know if my description of it is going to be okay with you, but it seems to be on siding onto the fantasy genre. Is that?
Oh, thank you. I don't really try over intellectualize it too much. I just try to do whatever comes to mind and just try be very organic with it and just go wherever I think it should go. So I don't try to overanalyze it too much.
Okay. Well,
yeah, it just kind of turns out that way. I think, yeah, fantasy would be an apt description.
Yeah. I mean, there's lots of very gorgeous, sumptuous Photoshop work, and a lot of them include some attractive women's faces, but with a very sort of fantasy sort of makeup and backgrounds and feel to them.
Yeah, well, I just find women easier to work with than men. I don't know why that is.
I think you should stick with women, because stick with what you're doing, because it looks fantastic. The fantasy stuff, that all has a particular look, but also you obviously get clients who ask you to do things that are more sort of, say, normal, like the American Chopper to DVD set. Do you have a preference to the sort of work that you do?
Well, when a client asks me to do work, like, for instance, the American Chopper stuff, it's not really about what I want. It's about what they want and what, you know, in line with their corporate branding and so on. So as long as I have all the materials I need, they give me all the stock photography, all the images from their photo shoots, I'm very comfortable with working with whatever they give me and try to come up with something that they would like. It's not really about what I like, you know, whether my style is, you know, in line with what they want or not. It's completely irrelevant. So it's just about coming up with something that I think they would like. They from my portfolio, I mean, they can see my style, so they kind of know what they're getting. But I think it's more about technicality as opposed to style. Like, as long as I can come up, as long as I have the skill to come up with something that's good and it looks good, I think that's the important part, as opposed to actually bringing in any sort of my own style into it. Like, it's, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, no, yeah. I understand completely. I mean, basically, there's some jobs where you have to do it a certain way, because that's what they want, and you've just got to give them what they want.
Yeah.
I understand. So now that you're sort of 6 or 7 years into this, and you're living in Gibraltar, are your clients still all come to you as a result of recommendations from just the original clients?
Well, it's an interesting thing. I learned something while moving around, is that I get clients everywhere you go. Like, clients come to you by different sort of channels. Like, when I was in South Africa, a lot of people came to me because, you know, it was through my website or through word of mouth. But when I was in Dublin, I got business through actually getting out and meeting people. Like, I found the Irish, like, they like to hire people that they know.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very Ireland was a tough nut to crack. And I didn't realize that. It's like, you just have to get out there and actually meet people personally. They like to see you face to face. And then that's how I got business. Like, business is done in a pub in Ireland. Like, that's where you need to go. You need to talk to people. You're not going to get it online or sending through emails and stuff like that. They're not interested. In my experience.
Right. Yes.
Yeah, and then here in Gibraltar, it's so small and everyone knows everyone. So it's sort of gone back to word of mouth business here. So it really depends on where I am in the world that, you know, how I get new business.
That's really interesting. And the two things I've found for getting business, been based in London most of the time. One has been my website, and the other has been face-to-face, and it tends to be what's good about London, and this really depends on where you are in the world. But in London's obviously a big place, so you're never spoilt for you're spoilt for choice for kind of meetups and business meetings, which sound terrible, but actually when you go along to them, they can be quite okay, in that you meet people who are just like you, and just business people and you just talk about, you know, what you're doing, what's working, what's not working, and every so often you bump into someone who needs a graphic designer, so I can certainly understand your experience with Ireland, because it's a little bit similar here, and some people do like to meet people and and hire them that way, whereas other people will go the website route. It hasn't gone too badly, has it, Karen?
No, like I'm doing great. I love my job. I feel very, very grateful that I get to do something that I love so much from, you know, my own home. I love it even more because I get to do it from home. I don't know if I'd love it as much if I was working for a company.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I definitely agree with you there. And I should also mention your other site, which is OmegaRed.co.za. Now, did I say that right, or is it OmegaRed?
OmegaRed.co.za is my portfolio site because I keep my blog and my portfolio separate. And there was like one of the, that's basically my business side where if someone wants to see my portfolio, I'd send them to OmegaRed. But that's where I just keep all my work per se. And it's a very small website. It's just my work. There's no blog. There's no nothing else. It's just my work.
And what plans do you have for the future, Karen?
Well, hopefully just keep on doing what I'm doing because I feel very blessed to be doing what I am right now. There is that elusive passive income, which every freelancer dreams about. And I have created a couple of Apple apps. To be honest, because my husband is very good at developing and coding and stuff like that. So he does the coding side. I do the graphics and like the one game we did, it was like a silly little mastermind game. We whipped it up in a weekend and we put it out there. This was like 2 years ago and it's still making money. Like we still get money from Apple every month. So
is that iPhone app?
It's an iPhone app. Yeah.
Fantastic. And it's a game.
Yeah, it's a game. We got two games out, but they're not currently being maintained because my husband's just too damn busy. But hopefully, like, I'd like to do more because it's actually, if you can get like a good game out or just like a good idea, you can, like, the money's not bad. Like, yeah, I mean, like I said, we haven't worked on them for like 2 years and we still get passive income every month from Apple.
That's fantastic. Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah. Well, yeah, I'd be incredibly interested in that as well. And it's just the coding side for apps is quite difficult. I haven't done one yet. And it is something I'd really love to do. Android apps as well. So for any of our listeners that are starting out or maybe done 2 or 3 years or maybe they're working in an office and a graphic designer, what would the 2 or 3 great pieces of advice that you'd give them?
Well, I learned one very important lesson a couple of years back. I'm going to tell you a story. Okay. I had a client, well, a potential client, who called me and he wanted a quote for a website. I was chatting to him about his website and what his requirements were. And, I sent him off his quotation. And in talking to him, he told me that he had approached another designer. This was in South Africa. She was also a very good designer. I knew about her. I didn't know her personally, but I knew she was very good. And I was like, oh, gosh, no, she's going to get it. So anyway, I sent off my quotation and I didn't hear back from him for a few days. And so I just called him up again. I'm like, so hi, have you had a chance at the quotation? What are your thoughts? Ended up just having like a really nice conversation with this guy and just chatted about, you know, what he wants from his website, like what did he actually want to achieve with it and just like his business. And I really like took interest in him and his business and, you know, anyway. So he asked me about this other designer. He's like, what do you think of her? And I was like, oh, gosh. So I decided I was going to be very honest with him. Mm-hmm. You know, she's very good. She's very professional. She's, you know, she does work very quickly and she's, she's on time. This is what I heard about her. So, and I left it at that. We hung up, we had a conversation. He called me back and he was like, I decided I'm going to go with you. And I was like, great, thank you. You know, like, I was wondering, like, what changed your mind? And he was like, no, I just felt like we really connected. And I was like, oh, okay. And I realized something in that moment, because this other designer was more talented than me. She had a better portfolio than me. She had more experience than me. And I realized if you can try build rapport with people, you have a really good chance of, beating the competition. If you can just be honest, be friendly. Like that's really like the one thing that I felt has given me a chance over a lot of competition out there. It's like I really tried to get to know the person. That's the advice I would impart to people. Just be friendly. Get to know people, and then you'll see. Because I think when people feel they can trust you, they're more inclined to hand over their business to you.
Well, Karen, I can't top that. That really was awesome and absolutely excellent advice. Show honesty and the rapport with people as well. Yeah. I just can't ask you another question. We just can't top that.
Oh, okay. Well, I hope it helps. I hope someone who's listening will just take that and just maybe that will help someone, because it helped me a lot.
I'm sure it will, because I'm always getting I get emails from people saying, "Oh, this guy said that on the podcast. It was really good," and they listen to the very end. Honestly, the bitter end. They'll still be listening. So thanks a lot, Karen. It's really been a pleasure to speak to you after all these years. I don't know where I first was aware of you on the web, I don't know when it was, I don't know where, but I've known your name for years and years and years, Karen McDade, and now as you are Karen Maresh.
Yes.
Did I get that right?
Maresh.
Yeah. Maresh. More or less.
I know. Thank you, Rob.
Well, thank you. So thank you very much, Karen. Karen can be found at karenmcdade.com. That's karenmcdade.com. And her portfolio can be found at omegared.co.za. So thanks very much for listening to our podcast. We'll get another one out in a couple of weeks' time. Don't forget to subscribe on iTunes or write us a review, if you please, on iTunes. I'm Rob Cubbon. I can be found at robcubbon.com. Thank you very much for listening. Goodbye.